Well, good morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. And as Rob said, hopefully, Lord willing, Justin and Mike and John Smith are in the air on their way home. Talked with Andrea a little bit this morning. They should hopefully arrive home somewhere about 6:45, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. So let's continue to keep them in our prayers. And I honestly couldn't tell you how mentally and physically exhausted I can imagine they'll be when they touch down and get back to their own house. Also this morning, as I was in the back getting my jacket on and stuff like that and putting my daughter's shoe on that fell off, James Jones came by. He goes, "Man, sure I'm glad we got a preacher this morning." I said, "Well, let me know when he walks through the door." But as I stand up here and I look out at this congregation, it's the way it should be. There's a congregation full of ladies and gentlemen who can preach and teach God's Word. And we need to be thankful for that. This morning, as we look, I want to look at walking with God. When we think about walking with God, and we can really look at it from a different aspects, but there are two men in the Bible that stand out as unique in their walk with God. And they're unique because in their entire scope of man's existence, these two men did not taste death. One was Elijah the prophet, who God took up to heaven in a whirlwind. And the other was Enoch. And Enoch is going to be our reference point for this morning. We are told that Enoch had such a close relationship with God and grew so intimate that he was taken up to heaven without experiencing death. What everyone remembers about Enoch is that he walked with God. You talk to people who know Enoch, and that's what they'll tell you. Basis is we're going to look at Genesis 5 and verse 24. Enoch walked with God because he had a true desire to be with God. Again, this verse is, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." When we look at walking with God and how Enoch walked with God, there's certain implications that can be made from walking with God. The first implication in walking with God is that we have to have a spiritual mindset. Colossians 3 and 2 says, "Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth." When we look at that, and we look at Enoch, Enoch had to turn away from the temporal things that tempted him daily while he lived on this earth. And those things that tempted him sought to derail him or put him off track of his spiritual life. Also, when you look at scriptures like 1 John 2:15 through 16, it says, "But do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world." We need to understand that in the Christian life, our mind is the rudder to our ship. And in that, whether we let the flesh steer that rudder or whether we let the Spirit steer that rudder determines the course that our ship will take. It determines the path that we will walk. And as any small rudder on the greatest ship, whether it be, and Mark Tullis will attest to this, a little trolling motor in a 10-foot flat-bottom John boat, the slightest turn of that rudder can set you off course drastically. It may not seem like much at first, but the further and further you go on that diverged path, the greater and greater you'll get off course. So we need to make sure that we are continuing to walk the straight path to keep from steering off course. But we also need to understand, and in our walk with God, that we can't walk with God if we're not of the same mindset and going in different directions. Look at Amos 3 and verse 3. "Can two walk together unless they are agreed?" Also, we go over to Romans. Romans 8, verses 5 through 8, as Paul is writing, he says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. When we're looking at our walk with God, another implication of that is progress and growth in our walk. The very concept of walking is a concept of movement. When a person walks, regardless of how slow they walk, how fast they walk, they are making a progression. They are moving forward. They don't remain in the same place, constantly moving. And those who walk with God need to understand that as we walk with God, we're making spiritual progress in our lives. We're constantly moving forward in our spiritual lives, growing and continuing in His grace. The word walk is an action word. It is used as a popular biblical metaphor for the way that we live our lives day to day. One, our walk with God, our walk with Christ, our Christian life that we walk in. We explain those things to people as we talk to them. But like Enoch, we need to think about that walk and how long we're walking with God. Because the longer that we walk with God, the more and the brighter His light should shine upon us and should be reflected from us out into the world. And the less and the dimmer, the light of the world should be reflecting in us and out from us. Psalm 73, 23 through 26 says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel. And afterward, receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Also, popular psalm, Psalm 119 and 105, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." If you've walked in a dark hallway or a dark room or a dark path outside in the woods, even in a parking lot, it's hard to walk a straight path if you don't have the light shining before you and guiding your feet. Another implication of walking with God is having the right relationship with God. Remember back when we looked at Amos 3 and verse 3, how it asked the question, can two walk together unless they are agreed? It means being agreed and having a mindset, walking together continuously, agreeing with one another. Let's look in depth at Genesis 5, chapter 21 through 23, at what it says about Enoch and his life here, the years he lived. Beginning in verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And most of us all know that Methuselah, of course, is the man who lived the longest number of years recorded in the Bible and from what we understand ever. And after he got Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. When you look at this verses, there's an implication here that Enoch didn't necessarily walk in the manner of God the first 65 years of his life. We don't know much about Enoch because we're not told a lot about him. But it appears that something happened or something took place in his life after he became a father to Methuselah that he realized that he needed to correct his life and correct his walk and begin to walk hand in hand in constant communion with God. The first 65 years of his life may possibly not have been walking hand in hand with God, but he spent the next 300 years of his life reconciled with God and continuously walking and walking in faith with God. As with Enoch, as with anybody, God does not force anyone to walk with Him. But when we say yes to Him and we choose to walk with Him, it means that we are abandoning what the world says. It means that we are giving up our right to choose our own way. And what we're doing is we're going to follow God's way. Let's look at Romans 12, 1 through 2. Again, Paul writing to the Romans, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we choose to walk with God and we transform our mind, we are transforming ourselves to do what God has asked us to do in our lives. There are some requirements that go along with walking with God as well, along the lines of faith. For we need to walk with God, and we need to walk by faith. Enoch walked by faith. If we look at Hebrews 11 and verse 5, Hebrews 11, of course, being what we consider the chapter of faith in the Bible, where it talks about different men and women of faith and what they did. It says, but by faith, in verse 5, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. When we walk by faith, again, we are placing our trust in Him and seek to honor Him by obeying His word and doing the things which please Him. Looking at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. What this is saying here is that we are no longer relying on our own judgments or doing what we want or following our own ways or fulfilling our own dreams and desires. But rather, what we are doing is we are walking in faith to complete with a complete reliance on God, knowing that He knows what is best for us and that our only true happiness and fulfillment can come in life, that can come in life, will be by following Him and walking in faith unreservedly. Walking by faith means living a life in the light, regardless of the eternal. Living a life of light, expecting the eternal consequences of living in light. To walk by faith is to fear God more than it is to fear man. To obey the Bible, even when it conflicts with what the commandments of men would have you to do. To choose righteousness over sin, no matter what the cost is to you on this physical earth. But it is to trust God in every circumstance, and to believe that God will reward those who diligently seek after Him, regardless of what others say. Again, back to Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith it is possible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Walking in faith. Another requirement of walking with God on faith, it requires that we consistently walk by faith with God, like Enoch did. Enoch walked consistently in intimacy with God for 300 years. A lot of us have a hard time staying close to God for even 300 days, making it through a year of time of walking close with God. We're continually confronted with and met with temptations, trials, and tribulations. Sometimes we might not make it through it at the first, but then we have our outlet to God to pray. So we need to continue to ask ourselves, are we consistently walking by faith like Enoch? The only way that you and I can live consistently is by surrendering daily unto God. Look at what Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, 30 through 31. And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord that I die daily. This death that Paul is talking about is a continuous in the present tense. It's not in the past tense saying when I obeyed the gospel I died then and that was it. Or in the future tense saying when I pass from this world then I will die. No, it's consistent every day. I die with Christ. Every day is a choice that we must make of our lives to die to our own desires again, our rights, our wishes, our decisions for the sake of bringing and bearing fruit unto God and what He would have us to do. There's no other way that we can consistently and righteously walk with God but to deny ourselves. Christ even calls us to pick up our cross daily. Daily we are called again to make those choices to decide whether we will keep following Christ and doing according to His will, or whether we will choose the way of the world and do what our own will and things are. I'm sure most of us, if not every one of us, have heard of the singer Frank Sinatra. And of course, the song that he sang and he made popular, I Did It My Way. As with Enoch and with us, the song that we need to be singing is, I'll do it His way, speaking of God's way. When we look at Enoch, we need to come to understand that his daily walk was a walk of faith and a walk of fellowship with God. What the Scriptures are trying to say to us, that if Enoch could live and walk by faith daily with God in the generations that he lived in, then we can consistently and constantly live and walk by faith and earnestly heed for God in the generations and the time that we live in. For the mind of man has not really changed. There is evil and sin in the world constantly now. And with that, we need to understand that God has not changed either. We can continue to draw closer to God and to walk with Him in faith. Also, with that walk of faith and walking close with God, our faith will be validated by God. Again, when we look at Hebrews 11:5 in that first part, it says, but by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. By faith. In walking with God and walking in faith, we have the works that we need to do to be faithful unto God. We have to continue to work to please Him. Enoch's life and actions and words stood the testimony of the witnesses around him, again, in the world that he lived and the generations that he lived in. He was a rare man in his time, being walking intimately with God. The time of the patriarchs, when God spoke directly to them. But we need to understand that every day now, in our generation, the church, and dreadfully to say, even the Lord's church, the strong and faithful, and points and emphasis are becoming more like the world that's around us. The church is, in points, in some areas, conform to the way of the world. And that's the world that we are trying to change. But we must continue to walk and to keep our path straight. Continue to walk in faith to God and to walk with God. God's desire is that through our walking with Him as His children, that we might shine as lights into the world. Let's look at Philippians 2, verse 15. Paul writes to the church of Philippi, says that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Enoch stood out and was commended as someone who walked with God. We all read that in the Bible. We can also be that way in our walk and stand out as people who walk with God, letting our light shine in the things that we do, things that we say, the way that we preach and the way that we teach. We welcome and we love people, and we try to bring people closer to God. And the validity of our faith is evident in our walk with God. Again, our walk and talk should go hand in hand. And one of the evidences that our faith is real is our desire to keep the commandments of God. Look at what Jesus said in John, verse 14 and 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. As we continue our walk with God and we journey in our path as a Christian and we live that life, our sole desire is to be as sojourners on this earth, understanding as Abraham did that we are just here for a brief moment and that our eternity will be spent in heaven with God. And to get there, again, we must obey God under His will and what He has had set for us to do, and to continue to walk faithfully before Him. If there's anyone here this morning who is subject to the invitation anyway, to begin your journey and your walk with God in faith, as Enoch did, be consistently and intimately connected to God in your walk, we can help you in that way. If there's anyone who has veered from their path in their walk with God, we're here to pray with you and for you, to help you get that corrected if need be, or just to give you the strength that you need. If we can help anyone in any way, in any manner, you can let it be made known by coming down front as we stand up and sing the invitation song.